Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Russian invasion of Ukraine. President Biden is standing by his comments regarding Russian President Putin. Biden told reporters Monday that he isn't walking back anything. While overseas, Biden said Putin can't remain in power after his invasion of Ukraine. A Ukrainian refugee says the only thing on her mind when fleeing the Russian invasion was the safety of her family.
The kids have only you, so that's why you don't think about anything, that you have some properties, you have some stuff that you need to pack.
Irina Timoshenko said her and her three children were able to flee the country to Miami, where they currently reside. The United Nations is demanding an investigation about alleged mistreatment of prisoners of war. The UN probe wants both Russia and Ukraine to launch probes. This comes after a video showed Ukrainian soldiers appearing to shoot those who were reportedly Russian prisoners. I'm Brian Shook.
Take time to support and thank our community's first responders for keeping us safe. This morning's reminder is sponsored by Susan G. Rosenblum, Century 21, Lois Lar in Redlands. Serving the area with quality and pride. If you're in the market to buy or sell real estate in the area, call the pros at 909-214-5371. Again, 909-214-5371. Or visit online at SusieRealEstate.com. That's S-O-O-Z-Y RealEstate.com. Susan G. Rosenblum, Century 21, Lois Lar, is wishing everyone the very best.
If you're ready for a Las Vegas vacation, here's an offer you can't refuse. The Vegas Travel Center is offering 3 days and two nights in Vegas free. Just call 909-406-7400. The offer includes accommodations with two free tickets to Great Las Vegas Entertainment with free meals. So if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you need to jump on this right now. Just call 909-406-7400. Obviously, an offer like this is not going to last. So call now, 909-406-7400, for your three-day, two-night Vegas vacation. That number again, 909-406-7400. Call now.
Hello, folks. Matt Rodriguez here. Your best choice for LA County Sheriff. Personally, I can't recall a time when LA County was in such dire straits as it is today. With skyrocketing crime rates, low deputy morale, and a complete disconnect between Sheriff Villanueva and the community he serves. To say we deserve better is a huge understatement. If I was to summarize Alex Villanueva's term as sheriff in one word, that word would be disrespectful. That is why I'm running for LA County Sheriff. To reinstate a sense of respect back into the job. Respect for the people, law enforcement, and the rule of law. Clearly, I cannot accomplish this quest without your help. So please join me on this journey to reinstate respect back into the LA County Sheriff's Office. Go to RodriguezForSheriff.com, donate, and volunteer. It would be my honor to have you on the team. Thank you, God bless, and stay safe.
As a small business owner or decision maker looking to start a new business, are you frustrated with having to handle all the administrative business for your company? A constant turnover of bookkeepers and staff to keep the business running and out of trouble while you are trying to grow your company? You can't do all this paperwork and expand your business too. Executive Services can provide your company with chief financial officer services, including tax return preparation and advice, bookkeeping, financial statement preparation and analysis services, loan package preparation, payroll, marketing services, notary services, new business formations, business liability insurance services, and an on-call CFO to help you with any business questions or issues you run into. Call Executive Services at 800-707-1477 now to get your company organized and have a peace of mind. For only a couple of $100 a week, you can have an experienced CFO on call to handle all of your company's administrative issues and problems. Call 800-707-1477 or visit the Executive Services website, www.xscbs.com, for more information.
Hi, I'm food critic Alan Borgen, and I'm excited to tell you about a small local company called Soaring Swine Acres that creates and sells over 300 delicious tasting and unique jams, jellies, honeys, sauces, pickled products, and their new Voodoo Queen holistic teas that you can't find anywhere else. You can visit Soaring Swine Acres store in Yucaipa, or you can purchase their products on their website, SoaringSwineAcres.com. That's SoaringSwineAcres, Acres, ACRES.com. Savor such delicious items like rosemary pear jelly, ginger orange jam, cherry chili jam. Visit them at SoaringSwineAcres.com. That's SoaringSwineAcres.com. Take it from me, food critic Alan Borgen, these food products are delicious. That's SoaringSwineAcres.com. Happy eating.
Coming soon to Yucaipa,
it's the High School Battle of the Bands,
sponsored by Unity of Yucaipa.
Saturday, May 21st at 3 p.m. at Unity of Yucaipa. If you've got the talent, you just might win $300 cash first prize. Entry fee is $30 per band. May the best band win.
Deadline to enter is April 23rd.
Be the best or just have fun. You're going to want to be in tune with this event. To attend, tickets will be available at the door.
Don't miss this event.
You might meet the next best social media phenomenon or best-selling band. To add your band to the docket, you can call 909-915-0301. That's 909-915-0301. Or Instagram at East Valley Music and Arts.
All fun support collective at Unity of Yucaipa.
Miss your favorite show? Download the podcast at kcaaradio.com.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Still nothing come to a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals. Stay focused on you. Focus your view. Succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home. Never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get. Appreciate what you got. You can always improve. Just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Gotta take a chance like rolling the dice. It won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it. Until this very day, I kept on mashing and I never gave up. Me believing in myself is the way I came up.
Don't let them hold you down. You gotta get up. These are your dreams. Never give up. Never give up. Keep on hustling, keep on rocking, you gon' make it, keep believing, never, never, never give up.
I'ma keep hustling, till I'm down in the dirt. Number one rule is my family is first. I know you're probably saying this dude trying to preach a sermon. Let me speak, cause the streets deserve it. At least they learn it, but the pain.
What's up, team? This is Robert Porter with the I Love San Bernardino County Radio Show on KCAA, NBC 106.5 FM, 102.3 FM, 1050 AM, where we will talk politics, culture, and history. We have a guest today running for the 4th Ward of San Bernardino, candidate Vincent Laster. How you doing, dude?
Outstanding. Happy to be here.
All right, all right. And before we get into our interview with the candidate, I'd like to mention on our sponsor over on 40th Street, Celebrity Bar and Grill. Max Zaire and Zoe over there do some incredible things for the community. They got some good food. Last Friday, me and my lady and my mom went in there. They had a $12.99 steak special. You know, the baked potato. We bought a salad. It was actually really good. You know, like if you just want a steak and like you go in there, have a burger, a cheeseburger. Today's special is clam chowder. He's got a little bit of everything over there. He also runs a business group, and he's doing something with the Black Chamber of Commerce. He always has DJs in there. If you're younger and you like DJs, they start at 9 o'clock. So he really does try to do good things for the community, and I appreciate him very much. And I just wish you guys would all go over there and grab some grub and eat up. Don't forget Green Shack over on Genevieve and Highland in San Bernardino. They have a deli over there, but they also have a smoke shop, and they're having a grand opening this April 1st. Is that Thursday or Friday? It's coming up here, but April 1st, April Fool's Day, they're having a opening for their new smoke shop. So they're trying to, you know, they got a little bit of everything in
there.
I personally don't smoke, but maybe you do, and they have a vape shop as well. So they're trying to expand a little bit and make more money, I guess. I mean, but we got a shop there, right? So my economist friend, Dr. Tom Fierce from Cal State San Bernardino, always told me, and I grew up with him, that if you don't shop at local businesses, they die, and places like Walmart take their business, right? So you got to shop local, even if it does cost a little more. Maybe it costs less than gasoline, right? So shop local. Do your best to do that. And a little local business we just tried was Tacos Aranda.
Okay.
Yeah, it's over there on Sterling. Sterling and Highland, and oh my, it was the first time I went there. I guess it's been there over 28 years, and they got some incredible food over there. The owner, Oscar, calls everybody Papa, Mama, and he's a real cool dude, and they got good food. My girlfriend, Amy's gone there, you know, she said her kids are partly made of Tacos Aranda's, so like, I had to try it. We went over there, and it was good stuff. We ended up eating there 2 days in a row, so it was that good. Also, a sponsor of ours, Tacos Aranda isn't a sponsor. I was just giving them a little shout out. But Inland Empire Optometry on 19th and Waterman, good people over there. Lifelong San Bernardinian. Carol really loves San Bernardino with all her heart. She actually saw the first McDonald's built. Right, like she's got a lot of age in this city, mm-hmm. And Carol Klein is a great person. Mentioning the first McDonald's, we just spent some time over at the McDonald's Museum.
Sweet.
Right? So Amy lives close to there, so we, you know, got the grandkids together. We walked on down there. You know, Albert Acura is created this museum there. They just moved the corporate offices of Juan Pollo out of the McDonald's Museum, and it opened up this whole other area that they plan to refurbish and put more artifacts in there. So if you've never been in there, I think they got almost every Happy Meal artifact on the planet in there. I'm not joking, on the planet. They got stuff from Germany, Philippines, Hawaii, you know, Hawaii's not from the, you know, out of the United States, but Korea, Japan, and then since it's a long Route 66, you always meet interesting people there, right? So from other countries as well. I've met people from Japan and Germany. People speak in different languages. You're like, wow. You know, so it's really put on the map. So he actually does this without McDonald's permission, mm-hmm. You know? But so they don't like that he does, but, you know, I like that he does it, you know? And it shows that some good love for San Bernardino. And then right next door is the military museum, right? So you can go there on the weekends, some of the best times, and go check them both out. And Mario would love for you to go visit Mario Montesino, a longtime lover of San Bernardino and a local veteran. And he's made this military museum over there, and he's got the Marines, of course. He's got, you know, the Navy, Army in there. I think a little Coast Guard stuff, and he's got two different museum areas, and then a whole huge box of toys for the kids, so the adults can go around and check out the Jeep with the M30 on there and everything, and then like the kids can be playing in the toys and stuff if they're not interested. You know, they might probably like the models and a few of the things in there, but you know, I like looking at the grenade launchers and things like that. So, you know, bazookas and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is cool stuff. Have you been in there?
I have not. I need to go.
Yeah, man, it's a good experience, and you know, just it doesn't take that long. You know, I think we spent 2 hours going through both of them, and just had a real good time. So, if you got time, go over to East Street on E and 14th. head out over there, check it out. And if you got kids and you want to do the museum thing, right across the street is an arcade, right?
That's right.
So Revival Arcade is right on there, and they've had this pop-up every Saturday. So we've been going to the pop-up, and they got a little food there, and I think we bought some tie-dye shirts and some cool things with rat bones in them and just interesting stuff. And then for $10, you get an hour's worth of play in the arcade. And they got Pac-Man and Centipede and pinball machines and skee ball and air hockey and little basketball. I mean, I'd take Eric out on the basketball, that's for sure, man. And it's a lot of fun, and the kids just went wild, it's not super huge, but there's lots of stuff to play. And, I think my favorite out of all of them was like, what do they call it, snowmobile game? There's a snowmobile game, right? So it like vibrates your butt, old school. And then, of course, I like Pac-Man. So, and the pinball, I do like the pinball, but Pac-Man, I don't know, for something that always draws me to the Pac-Man. So you got to try that, too. If you have any grandkids?
I have some grandkids. I got one little girl.
Yeah, well, take her on over there and create some memories, dude. That's what we're trying to do with Amy's grandkids is, like, make them reminisce of, I went to the McDonald's museum before, And all kids know McDonald's.
They do.
It's a lot of fun. But I do have a little history tidbit here, if you bear with me. It's from Albert Acura's book, The Chicken Man, with a 50-year plan. So if you don't know who Albert Acura is, he's the founder of Juan Pollo.
That's right.
And he created this McDonald's museum. And this is a little tidbit of how he made this happen. So it says, one of the newspaper columns said I was going to open a McDonald's museum, I guess. So I decided to move our corporate offices into the building and at the same time take newspaper's idea to open an unofficial McDonald's museum. I called the three local McDonald's franchises and asked them to help me start a museum, but they were afraid of the corporation would forbid them. I tried to tell them they would be known all over the McDonald's empire as the ones who saved the original site, but they didn't share that vision. They were more interested in keeping peace with the corporation so they wouldn't jeopardize the future profits.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I realized that no one was going to help me with my museum, so I started doing research on the early history of McDonald's. The first thing I learned was two brothers, Dick and Mac, opened McDonald's Barbecue in 1940, serving a wide variety of food items. They had car hops serving the customers, and within a few years, they became the most popular teen hangout in San Bernardino. With the success of the restaurant, the brothers became the two wealthiest men in the county. Although they had more money than they had ever imagined they could earn, the brothers became disenchanted with the extensive food preparation and the lack of customer turnover because the boys would come to socialize with the car hops. Dick realized that 80% of their sales were hamburgers and French fries. He also realized there was going to be a booming family trade business soon because World War II just ended and everyone was eager to raise families. In 1948, they closed the restaurant, revamped their kitchen, and reopened on December 12th as McDonald's Hamburgers. Inspired by Henry Ford and the Ford Motor Company, they introduced a speedy service system which revolutionized the hamburger business by using mass production techniques to lower the prices, provide consistency of every burger served. After a slow start, business exceeded their wildest expectations, and the rest is history. Isn't that interesting?
That's awesome.
There's a couple points in there I'd like to mention. First of all, setting up a museum is hard work. And let me tell you, I get told all the time, Robert, you got to make that into a museum. Robert, this would make a great museum. No, wait, wait, no. Take my name out of your mouth. You have to step up and do it yourself. If you have a vision for a museum, you got to put your time into it. Let me tell you, I don't have enough time to do it in the first place. I love our history. I love all kinds of history. But having a museum is takes 100% of your time. It probably takes 120% of your time. And the worst part about museums, and I'm it's really sad to say, like just what happened to the pinball museum, that the world-class pinball museum in Banning, shut down because they couldn't do it no more, right? The 9/11 museum, the 9/11 museum in New York City, it's closing down because there's not enough customers. This stuff is not easy. So I always tell people, if you want a museum, make a virtual museum online. Put pictures of all your artifacts. Put them on there. It'll be there forever. You got to pay for the website, right? Or do it on Facebook and keep it for free. But when it comes to really doing a museum, unless you're dedicated, you got people to help, and you got some extra money like Albert Acura, you're probably going to have a hard time doing it. So, you know, like museums are nice. But unless you got a government entity like San Bernardino City or the county, like the county funds a museum over in Redlands, it might be a little hard. Maybe San Manuel, too. San Manuel could probably handle it. But yeah,
there's no succession plan after that person moves on.
And I am really worried about the McDonald's Museum and on the Military Museum because, they're both getting older, right? Mario and Albert are getting older. And I hope there's a plan to keep it going. But it just seems like when you have these private museums that once the main founder and patron passes away, unfortunately, the all the artifacts just get spread about everywhere and you lose it. So hopefully it won't be that way and we'll keep it going. But interesting history, and that's my little thing on museums. And then, of course, you know, Albert started – you know, Juan Pollo, right? And he's one of the richest men in the area, right?
Right.
He actually bought his own city over in on Route 66, right? So you could do this, team. You can make your small business into anything you want if you put the dedication into it and work hard. Go get your business license. You got a dream? Go do it. You know, try it. Become the next Albert, right?
And do it here in San Bernardino.
Yes, and we would love that. We'd love to see you do well. I don't make a lot of money with my business. My business is basically I love San Bernardino, right? But it doesn't cost me money to run it except maybe gas and stuff. So I get sponsors to pay for that stuff, and it keeps me alive, but it gives me an opportunity to do what I love. And if you want to do what you love, there's no better way than starting your own business, right?
And what you do is give everybody hope, and I enjoy that.
Well, and it gives me hope, too, because when I first started this, I heard a lot of hate about San Bernardino, and I didn't like that. I mean, I wanted there to be an outlet for the good, too. You know, there's still bad stuff, like in every city, and I also try to show that, right? So just because San Bernardino has a murder or lots of murders, doesn't mean Victorville doesn't. Doesn't mean that Chicago doesn't, right? New York City, you know, like L.A., of course. You're getting a – go ahead and show him. Go ahead and show him. Eric's doing the sign. He's like,
oh, okay.
Closer to the mic. Yeah, go ahead and pull it up.
All right.
So, like, if you want to start your own business, team, like, you know, go talk to somebody like Max Zaire, right? Go, he'll let you know what you got to do. I mean – and if you, who knows, what if you do create the next, like, Juan Pollo or McDonald's? Like, you could change the world. You never know. So I always suggest, you know, you work in your job at Amazon or Walmart or whatever, and you don't, you know, have a dream. You know, even Carl's Jr. started out as, like, just a hot dog stand, right? You know, the McDonald's is just a barbecue restaurant, right? It's just, it takes you to go out there and do it, and I believe in you, team. I want our people to be successful. I don't want, like, you to just have a dream and just let your dream go and just always just dream, like try your dream, at least try it. Maybe it won't work out. Yeah, but like Henry Ford went bankrupt a whole bunch of times before he actually made money.
Learn and progress.
Yes, yes. And it also helps being in the military. So as we move on to Mr. Laster here and running for the 4th Ward of San Bernardino, you were in the military, right?
United States Marine Corps.
Oh, I love the Marine Corps. My father was Marine. That means I'm a son of a Marine, which is just as cool for me to actually be able to say my papa was in the Vietnam and everything like that. Had the Purple Heart. You know, really loved the Marine Corps with all his heart. Afterwards, like it's. So what causes you to like love the Marine Corps so much after you, when you're a former Marine? Or you're never a former Marine.
Never a former Marine. You're always a Marine.
You're not enlisted anymore. Is that how it goes?
No longer active.
No, okay. Not active duty. All right. But they could call you up still, right?
I would go. Gosh, it's such a brotherhood that it's a bond that you can't break. Mm-hmm. So once a Marine, always a Marine.
And when did you join? How old were you?
I think it was 22.
22? Okay. Tell us about your history in San Bernardino.
San Bernardino. I'll go into the Central Valley first. I was born right outside of Fresno.
Okay.
Small town called Sanger, California. It's the gateway to the Sierras.
Okay.
And Kings Canyon and the Sequoia National Parks are there.
I think I'm heading up somewhere near there in a little bit. Yeah.
My father got on, started working for the California Aqueduct.
Okay.
And ended up in San Bernardino, Devil's Canyon Power Plant right above Cal State. He worked on that as well. And Silverwood and Paris are part of the state water system.
That's kind of how my dad ended up here. My grandfather was from Canada, and they got a job. He got a job doing with Edison, and it just everyone followed him down here. That's interesting.
And San Bernardino seems to be a mecca.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, especially for jobs like that during that age. So you ended up moving here. And
yes, at the age of 4, I was here. I went to kindergarten here, Marshall School, Arrowview, and then off to SBHS.
Oh man,
another one, huh?
Okay, we'll let that go. We'll let that go. But Golden Valley Knights and Pacific Pirates rule. But I do love all our high schools and junior highs, and that's great. I almost went to Arrowview High School. I mean, junior high. I don't know what happened. I think what happened is all my friends were going to Golden Valley. So that's where I ended up going. I followed them. And then all my friends went to Cajon. And I was like, I didn't want to follow them anymore. So I was like, I'm going to start new over at Pacific. But what was it like going to San Bernardino High School? And any good fond memories?
It was a good time.
Did you ever paint the pee?
No, I wouldn't say that. Not with present company, anyway.
Okay.
Gosh, well, there was some sad times. Mm-hmm. During my time at high school, we did not win a high school game.
Oh, you didn't?
In football.
Oh man, I our team was up and down in football. But
there was one time that we actually tied. I think it was Victorville, and we stopped the winless streak.
Well, that's good.
But that's how they put it. It was we stopped the winless
streak.
Were
you in sports, or did you do any extracurricular activities?
Sure.
Or?
Yeah, I played some football, played soccer, track and field. So
the normal the high school experience.
Yes. Yeah.
And after high school, you.
I tried the college a little bit, and then
what college did you?
I went to Cal State San Bernardino.
Okay. Okay.
I started there. And then,
Go Yotes.
Did not finish at that time. I went into the Marine Corps,
which a lot of people do. A lot of people decide that college isn't right for them at that time. Go on in the Marine Corps. Now, what year was this?
Joined the Marine Corps in '86.
In '86, okay.
And I graduated in '84, '83.
So we weren't in any conflicts right at that point. But was it Panama or
maybe Grenada?
Grenada, yeah, yeah.
I did go to Desert Storm.
Okay.
In 90. Gosh, that was sort of strange because I was in Pendleton and they trucked us up to Norton.
Okay.
My hometown.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait a second.
He's right over there. Yeah. And they took us over on commercial airplanes. I think it was Continental at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's been bankrupt quite a few years now. But flew over to Hawaii for a fuel stop and then off over to Okinawa to wait for assignments.
Interesting. My father has a totally similar story for Vietnam. They went to flew out of Norton from same thing, then to from Pendleton to Norton to Hawaii, and like it was his first time in Hawaii, and like he had like 15 minutes or something.
That's
they
right.
flew his ass to Okinawa and then straight to Vietnam, and he ended up back in Okinawa. He was wounded, blown up by a landmine, so he was blind, and he actually lived in Okinawa blind for a long time, and then came back here and ended up at the Hate in San Francisco in 1969. Got someone's corneas that were donated from a soldier that passed away in Vietnam, and but could see the rest of his life. Not great, but could see. Did you end up going? So you were in Desert Storm, or what happened?
We were in support of Desert Storm.
Okay.
So we had Pacific Security. We did some exercises over in over mainland Japan.
Okay.
I climbed Mount Fuji while I was there.
All right, all right.
So that was interesting.
That's an accomplishment.
We had some...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, another exercise over in the Philippines.
Okay.
And just stayed put over in Okinawa, making sure that the North Koreans didn't do anything.
Yeah, they're still acting up to this day. Right now, they've got some new ICBMs that they're testing, and my gosh, man, this guy's going crazy over there. But so you did the military thing. You formed that camaraderie with your fellow Marines. Like, how long were you in there total?
6 years.
6 years, and then what? When you decided not to re-enlist, what did you do?
I worked for the school district.
Okay. So you came back to San Bernardino?
Came back to San Bernardino. Different sites throughout the county of San Bernardino. Worked for the county superintendent of schools. Still work for them. Enjoy giving students a second chance.
Okay.
Whether academically or maturity levels, let's say.
That sounds very similar to what Dr. Hill would say. She loved the opportunity for kids to get a second chance, and because she says kids aren't bad, inherently bad. They just make bad choices, and sometimes they need a second chance.
Or
right?
They have bad examples set in front of them.
True, true.
So I like to think that I'm a role model for some of them.
Well, especially being a Marine, that's definitely true. You also are involved I'm not going to jump like 40 years or whatever. So you stayed with the school district, you just worked your way up and did your different things.
When did you
start to get involved with the community?
For the past, 15 years or so, I've been part of Native Sons.
Okay.
One special thing
he's my brother, by the way.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to be the president of the Native Sons when they put the new county courthouse in.
Okay, all right. So you got to bring the signs over and everything?
So I got a plaque in front of the county courthouse, with the dedication plaque with my name at the bottom of it. So
and over there, team, there is still, I believe, a few columns from the old courthouse, the old court building, and some history out there as well. So if you want to see a little extra history, go right in front of the old courthouse. And that courthouse itself is absolutely incredible, the old one. The new one's good too, you know, but the old one, like, it's like got marble and, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's actually a registered historic site now, so we're going to keep that for a long time.
I hope so. Yeah.
And what the Native Sons of the Golden West do is we help the Cleft Palate Foundations and help them get money for the kids for their operations.
For the operations, yes.
And then we also help with grants for kids at schools, right?
Yes, there's also a essay contest.
Yeah, there you go, the essay contest, right?
The fourth graders go ahead and they submit their essays for the best California oriented essay or California history.
And then we also get these plaques on an arrowhead.
That's
so
right.
Cool. You know, I love the arrowhead. And we dedicate historic sites, and we all go out there. I actually was part of that for Camp Cajon. I got to go over there and read my little part and everything. It was a really interesting experience on 4th of July. It was great. I do appreciate the Native Sons. And if you know, the building is on Date Street in Del Rosa, and they got that cannon in front of it. Unfortunately, we're going to be moving here soon.
That's right.
But it's okay. We'll probably end up in the Historical Society or something, right?
That's
somewhere
right.
Good. So that building right there is worth quite a bit of money, team. That's what it comes down to. It's right there on the freeway exit. So and the Native Sons don't own it. So that's why... we're going to move. So it's worth it. We're moving the Historical Society, and then we'll get the cannon over there too.
That's it.
Wouldn't that be cool? So you did the Native Sons of the Golden West. You sold a lot of fireworks.
That's right. I met Evelyn Alexander, who actually ran the Dr. Nag, which is the Del Rosa Neighborhood Action Group. And unfortunately she passed, and I went ahead and, as an honor to her, to go ahead and help run that organization.
So you've not to talk too much about your opponent, but you've seen them there when it's campaign season a few times, huh?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what candidates often do. They show up when campaign season is, and then you don't see them again.
You don't see them again.
But yeah, you were there, that's
I'm there.
For sure. Yeah.
I'm there. Been doing it for about 3 years now as president.
El Presidente.
We do monthly cleanups, and we have a newsletter to inform the our membership about what's going on.
Yeah, they work harder than ours, team. Like, I'm president of the Valencia, and we're just trying to get into our own, kind of.
Matter of fact, this last Saturday, we had we were doing along Del Rosa between Linwood and, I think it's Carpenter Street. Well, there's a little plaza there. We found out that one of the businesses had their door smashed in by a homeless. The owner came up to me and told me, because he had it on video camera. Apparently a homeless guy was going ahead and sleeping there and drinking there, and when he finished his bottle, he threw it at the glass door.
It's not unusual. At Denny's on Highland, that they've had their door smashed in so many times. I'm like, we got to fix this problem somehow. I have feelings for the unsheltered and the homeless, right?
I do too.
But there's some there that are in drug induced. They're the crazies. They're in drug induced crazy, right? And they're different than the ones that are mentally ill to me. Now sometimes it coincides, and there's an infinity different homeless situations. Right, there's all these different ones, so there's not one answer to solve them all. But do you have any idea how you might approach it if you did become a council member?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. I would like to see a private or a public-private, partnership between the county, the city, and and actually individual companies.
Mm-hmm. Like San Manuel.
Yeah. I would say even Amazon. Mm-hmm. And put tiny shelters in their parking lots or their places, and they could actually work with them. Mm-hmm. They have a place to go ahead and get mental health services, and they have a secure place. And then they could maybe even actually start working at Amazon or other industrial areas of our city. That private-public partnership would be so important to have to take care of this problem.
Yeah, just one facet of it, because this is a – I mean, if you look at places like Delhi, New Delhi in India, I mean, they're – created a whole caste system, a whole caste of people that actually, you know, were the poor. And often in San Bernardino, it's not just drug or crazy people. Sometimes it's even families living in their cars and different things. So there's different levels that there are people that do want help. There are some that don't, but there are some that do. My idea, now so you can hear, and I've mentioned it several times, is that each of the parks should have porta sands and porta potties that are cleaned every single day. And then they should also have a trailer there that has a mental health representative there, a drug counselor, right? You know, like those portable chairs we put in the schools. And then right on the side, there could be toiletries and donated clothes and stuff. So like every day, if they wanted to, they could come in there, get the shower and the porta potty, use a restroom, so they're not like, you know, just having to live rough all the time.
No,
but we don't do that. There's such a negativity towards even providing any services, because people say, "Oh, then they all congregate around there." But they're already here. They're here.
You can't push them just away. They'll be back.
Yes.
I mean, they've dismantled several.
They do try. So, like, I remember Chief Bergeron, a former police chief, actually, out of his own pocket, paid to have someone a bus ticket to go to Georgia. And they went. They paid him to go, one-way ticket to Georgia, right? Sometimes that does work, to be able to help someone get back to their family right?
And yeah. Sure.
And but like oftentimes people come to California because it's a place to be, right?
It's beautiful here.
Yes, and like you freeze your buttocks off in New York City. You'd much rather be in some of these southern states, especially California. So I don't blame them for wanting to come here, but we do have to find a way to keep them sheltered or at least alleviate some of the problems of being dirty and stuff, so they can get a job if they really wanted to.
Right. I mean, some of these large companies should go ahead and help with this problem. I mean, it's only going to help everyone.
Yes.
I mean, businesses are not going to have their doors broken into. They're not, I guess air conditioners are not going to be, ransacked for their metal.
I often say, like, they got into the conduits and pulled out all the wire
wires
for a whole blocks. I mean, and like that cost a lot of money to have it restrung and everything. So like then the council people get mad at the council people for it, and they're only one vote, right?
That's right.
And they actually aren't city staff per se. They're the actual people that vote to get the city staff to do this stuff, right? So it's very complicated. So what about if you run into a problem with only having one vote? How do you get more votes?
Oh, I'm going to build a coalition.
Oh, compromise?
Compromise.
Yeah,
work
that's
with
what
people.
To hear.
I mean, I think I can work with anybody.
Yeah.
Most anybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's ingrained in Marines, because you all are in the same unit. You may have your fun and everything, but when it's time to go to battle, you go to battle together.
Whatever it takes to finish the mission.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do in San Bernardino, is work together to finish these missions, to actually get a good handle on them. And it's going to take compromise and the coalitions. What would you do about crime per se? Like, do we need more police officers, or what do you think?
I do believe that we need more police officers. What I see now is the police being more they're almost everything right now. Mm-hmm. But they're honestly absolutely essential to our community. Yeah, so they're more of the community than just, you know, a billy stick and a handgun.
They're like counselors. they're role models. They're protection. They're security. They're all these things.
They help us clean the streets.
Yeah, and they really need our support. And they really need more officers, in my opinion.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean they can't be well trained.
No.
Yeah. I mean, like, we don't need we don't need to defund the police. We just got to fund proper training so there won't be issues of systematic racism or anything like that because they've been trained properly.
I mean, we went on some cleanups that we needed some help with, let's say, relocating the homeless. And they did it respectfully.
Fivey and the team always show up to our neighborhood association meetings, and they're there to answer questions, and they answer truthfully.
That communication is just unbelievable compared to what I've heard before. I mean, it is, and
they believe in San Bernardino.
They do.
Now, it may be true that only a few officers live in our city, which I'd like to change. I would love to see maybe pay half their house payment, right? Get them to move into some of these neighborhoods where there's issues, and maybe the family, the family oriented ones won't. But maybe some of the young single guys be like, "Yeah, I want a house. I want to move into San Bernardino, and I'll live there." And like, I had a police officer, George Finkel, on my street all the time growing up. In fact, he passed away a few years ago and still lived in the same house. Uh-huh. And whenever there was anything, you know, we would go up to him and he would take care of it. You know, I mean, I know that that's not their job after hours to be constantly helping us. But like, if you're invested in our community, you want to help, you know, you want to do good things. You know, I feel like I don't have any time off. I wake up and I'm adding posts to I Love San Bernardino. I go to bed at 11:30 adding my last few posts, you know? Like, so like, I think they would be willing to do that extra if we gave them incentive.
Yes, I think that's important. I mean, Eric Fivey, I mean, he would answer my text at any time.
He's a good guy.
Unbelievable.
He's really nice, and he has a way about him with his honesty that really, like, there, when you go to these neighborhood association meetings, team, there's a lot of squeaky wheels, let me tell you. They squeak and squeak, and they squeak the same things a lot. But, like, he's just straight up honest with them. And, like, then they're like, oh, you know, like.
He's so authentic. Yeah. It's just so refreshing just to see another human being just so authentic. I mean, he's there.
So we went over public safety. We went over the unhoused. What would be another thing you'd like to see going? What about our parks or
to go along with that, blight. Mm-hmm. I would like to see something that the city would do on the same lines of the Conservation Corps.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They do that along, you know, in California in different places, but a city conservation corps that would go ahead and clean and landscape our cities so we can have a beautiful city to live in.
I agree with that. Get Bird Tech more involved, more than just you know, we also have to do things like street signs for no parking, for street sweeping. There's some things that the city can do. It takes a little money. It does cost a lot to put up street signs. So they're not street sweeping in the center of the street. They're actually doing the sides. It also takes a little bit of work by us. So we got to move our cars.
That's right.
Right? When the street sweeper comes. If you don't, you're going to end up paying a fine, right? So there's things that we're going to have to do. There's things the city is going to have to do. Our parks, I really worry about it. I remember an idea back in the day where they were considering maybe even hiring a park ranger for the park. What do you feel about an idea like that, or security in general or something? Like, we do got new fencing around Second Lake and Pioneer Cemetery. Thank you.
Oh, Pioneer Park.
Yeah.
And that's a whole bunch of history right there at Pioneer Park.
Yeah, you see my videos on there where all the headstones are knocked off.
And, you know, there's people living and drinking and
hopefully
whatever
there'll
else.
There'll be security cameras eventually, and that go right to the police department. That would be nice.
So yeah, just walking through that, the history is just amazing there, and it needs to be protected.
What about security? Like, it does cost a lot, but do you think we might be able to get security guards that go in our parks? Or
I think we should. Mm-hmm. You should be able to go into a park with your family, you know, free of any other distractions or worried about the safety of your kids.
Okay, potholes. Now, like the mayor's got this commercial on Facebook and Instagram that makes me laugh. And like, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, but like, there's not been enough done with our potholes for you to tout that you fixed them. It's like 104 comments, like most of them are erased, but of just like, what are you talking about? Have you been down this street? I mean, I know there has been some stuff done, and Councilman Alexander actually posted today that there's a whole list of streets that will be repaved as well.
Uh-huh.
I mean, quite a few, but it takes time. You shouldn't be touting it, but what's your idea to fix some? Put more money into the streets?
Well,
you have to.
I mean, you have to. I mean, even going to work, I feel like I'm going through a slalom course type of thing. So, I mean, we have to fix them. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
It's not easy to do this, team. I've interviewed a lot of candidates, and once they become council members, they realize they're one vote, so you're going to have to work together to get the coalition. But that's one thing that they're all going to hear complaints about.
But I would hope that we could, you know, get together with other cities that we could actually, you know, purchase enough asphalt or pothole mix that it would be cheaper instead of just doing it ourselves type of thing. Just to cut the cost by getting enough.
And then also, team, old cement streets, some of those things are still working. Like initially, why can't we just do it like in cement? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of my mind.
I've been in different cities that it's, you know, you have pavers. I mean, real pavers, and they're beautiful as well. But I know they're expensive. But
sometimes it costs a little more money to do quality, but it's worth it in the long run. All right, so we got about 10 minutes left, and I'm going to do the same thing with everybody. Now the future. What do you see for the future of San Bernardino?
I'm very positive about the future. I mean, I think we can actually turn this place around and actually clean up the city, take care of the homeless, and have a place where you can be proud to have your kids.
So you're going to be doing the fourth ward. So that's 40th Street right up there, right?
It's up to 40th Street. It's almost like almost a Cal State. Hugging the foothills.
All the way to...
All the way to Walmart,
Walmart
really.
Walmart on the side.
That's right.
What about there's an issue with two guys hates the food vendors on Highland, but the food vendors produce a lot of business in that area and bring a lot of people to the area, especially coming out of the casino.
Casinos.
And they got families to do as well. So, like, how would you solve that problem?
There's plenty of vacant areas where they can actually even have food trucks and vendors throughout our city. My concern, particularly at the Two Guys area, is probably safety of traffic there.
Yes, yes.
I think they should have a certain area to go like they do in, it's not San Antonio, is it? No, it's Austin.
Well, my idea has always been a free enterprise zone. But you could make these free enterprise zones with the permission of businesses, and maybe one vendor at each business. But you know, first time you leave trash or put grease on a thing, your license is revoked. But maybe you could get a day license, right? Instead of having to be fully, you know, because it's expensive to start a business, right?
Sure.
I don't see why you couldn't have a day license in these free enterprise zones and have the county inspector there and the city sell the permits right there.
But all truck and trailer ones are inspected. So.
Yeah. And then they could do their thing too. I mean, I think there's room for everybody to get a little piece of the action. I love me some tacos. Let me tell you, team. I do.
Street tacos.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And some aguas frescas or whatever. Oh, my gosh. Good stuff. But then I have some friends who make pizzas. I have friends that that focus on other vegetarian, vegan dishes and stuff. So there's ways to integrate everyone into the community.
That's right. You know what? Everybody's has a ward, per se, as far as council is concerned. But you know what? Everybody has downtown. I mean, downtown needs help. I've been to the Arts Fest and the Arts Walk.
I've seen you there, too. Got pictures of it.
And, you know, we all belong to downtown.
So do you believe that this redevelopment effort downtown, it's got potential?
I think it has potential. And not to mention the general plan update needs to be. I went to the last workshop up in the North End. And it wasn't well attended, but the ones that were...
That's why we're having so many of them. And that was the concern, is that there wasn't, you know, from some of the council members, that there wasn't enough outreach for these plans. So that's why they did a lot of them, team.
And well, I take pride in the fact that, you know, we actually advertised it in our newsletter, the Dr. Nag newsletter, and there was a couple of them showed up and mentioned that the reason why they showed up was because it was in the newsletter. So people still actually read. Not everything is Facebook.
Yeah, it's important to do the outreach. Right. And if that involves, I think actually the council was asking for more money for mailing. Because, you know, it's one thing to have it on Facebook and Instagram, but that there's elders that, and there's people like that just hate it. They will never get on there. So they do kind of need to be sent to their houses.
It seems like when you hold something, you actually own it in a way. You know, when it's on a screen or something like that, it just disappears
like,
in a way.
Oh, they got to clean up. Oh, and that's how I do the neighborhood association meetings. I have my little flyer and I walk it to the houses and hand it to them. And hopefully they come. Most of the time they don't. But I wish people would participate more, team. That would help. Now we got about 5 minutes left. You did a little bit about the future. Well, why should someone in the fourth ward vote for you?
I demonstrated that I'm willing to work hard for the district, my own neighborhood association, as well as all the neighborhoods. I'm on the NAC board, which is the neighborhood association council. So I'm the vice president of that. So I hear the issues that each neighborhood has. So
you're pretty darn involved, dude. I appreciate you.
I would wish that some of the other council people would actually show up to some of these things and hear what's necessary to improve their...
Wait, it is campaign season. Oh, wait, not every council person is running for a campaign.
True. And some of them aren't really too excited about the neighborhood associations.
Yeah, I have to admit, man, it's been hard, and I almost quit the other day. I did quit because I didn't feel like I was getting enough support. It costs money to run these things, man.
And it does.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, but like, I got my, I think I maybe took it out on Lynn a little bit too much. I'm sorry, Lynn, if I did. But like, I got my power back. I'm going to re-hit it back hard. And one thing I have to say, though, is that the people do care. And if you guys could get involved in our neighborhood associations, it would really help us out a lot. The more people that come, the more help we have doing the different things.
And more engaged community, a better community is.
Mm-hmm. So people are going to vote for you because you're a hard worker?
Yes.
You're going to work hard for... You're going to love San Bernardino?
I love San Bernardino.
All right. That's honestly cool. Would you like to say hello to any of your friends or family? Or your voters? Want to say anything to your voters?
Oh, I love San Bernardino. How about that? I love you all.
And we want to make this a better place all together. Vince, put it this way, man. Seeing you at the Native Sons, you know, seeing you at all these events, I know you do care. And I know that you are trying really hard to make San Bernardino a better place. And if we could have like 1,000 Vinces, like serious poop would be getting done in San Bernardino, let me tell you. But we only have one of you. Do you have any mentors or people that you look up to in the city that, that kind of inspired you? What about mayors? What about Mayor Valles? Did you like Mayor Valles?
I like her, and she looks well for her age. I tell you that. Yeah.
She really. I always liked the fact that she, you know, like no one ran against her for a second term, and that's so hard to do. You know, you know, like I don't know. When it comes to mayor, I'm not going to ask you who you. Oh, well, maybe you want to say who you were. You're interested in voting for.
There's several good candidates. I haven't, I've got some support from several of them, type of thing. So it's hard to pick right now.
Yeah, it's the same thing with me. I like try not to endorse a candidate till the general election. Yeah. Reason being is like if your candidate doesn't win, then you like the other ones might hate you, like they're mad at you, like, and it takes a little bit of time for. Like, they don't hate you forever, but it takes a little time for them to get over that.
I'm still coalition building.
Yeah, you're building that coalition. Well, thank you for your service in the Marine Corps. I appreciate you. Thank you for your service in San Bernardino, and thank you for coming on my show. I appreciate that. And this is Robert Porter with the I Love San Bernardino County Radio Show with Vince Laster, candidate for the 4th Ward, and we are out of here.
Talking, living the blues. I'm a blues loving man. From my soul into your hands, music makes you wanna dance. I'm a blues loving man.
AA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, 106.5 FM, and now 102.3 FM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian.